passing by in time, killing people that's in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesarship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they war. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight. Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social side, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, from rape, they burn the kids. No more things, gun, trees, lie. To your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives. Yeah. Coming back around again.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, and I'm your host for the next hour. It is the 31st of August, and it's supposed to get right frickin' cold tonight. Maybe we'll break some records jam the global warming ain't real down the scientist's throat once and for all. Anyways, we didn't get to do the show Tuesday night. We're having server problems. And I just want to thank Bill Gates for buying Skype, and or Microsoft for buying Skype. More and more people have more and more problems with Skype all the time. And I don't know if Gates even still runs Microsoft or not. He's busy out trying to depopulate the planet with his vaccine regime. And so maybe he doesn't have time to make sure Skype's up and running all the time. So, anyways, I got a new sponsor. This is big news. I got a new sponsor, and I'm really happy about it because if I keep pushing the product, they promise to keep shoveling me tons of money, bagfuls apparently. My new sponsor is Global Bacon. The bacon anyone on the globe can enjoy. And I had a meeting with the Jewish Congress and Canadian Muslim Association. They're both Semitic groups, and neither one of them like bacon. And seeing as they're taking over our country, and it's a problem for them. They don't like bacon. I don't know they've ever tasted bacon, because if they tasted bacon, well, they would jump out of Judaism and out of Islam and dive on face first into the bacon bowl of Christianity. But after speaking with them, they're not going there. And as Islam is to be the new world religion, it only seems fair that we have a global bacon product. So it's Global Bacon, the bacon that ain't got no bacon in it, but thanks to scientific advances, they can make whatever it is they're going to sell us, called bacon or global bacon. It'll taste just like bacon. It'll be like the old margarine commercials, right? Just like butter. Ain't got nothing to do with butter, but you can't tell the difference. And so I'm pleased as punch to have my new sponsors on. Global Bacon, the bacon anyone can eat anywhere in the world. Of course, that's not true, but what the hell, eh? We got to run these clowns out of town. You know, I ran into a guy from church I went to when I was young in a grocery store the other day, Tuesday actually. And I was brought up in the Pentecostal church, the old fire and hell, what do you call it? Hellfire and damnation, I guess. It was actually quite entertaining back then because the preachers would really stomp the stage, man. I left school and I left the church about the same time, within months of each other, because my gut told me there was seriously something going on here, seriously wrong, and that one day I would be advertising global bacon. This church I used to go to, guy that's always been in the church, he's several years older than I am. And when I quit, he was always asking me to come back. And I said, no, there's something bad wrong with this place. And so when I was fighting windmills 10 years ago or whatever, I had the knives out after me pretty hard. And I was at this one meeting. I don't remember what town it was in, but I had like a 300-pound gorilla on my back, and they had youth from the church, the Pentecostal church, all dressed up in white shirts at the door as a welcoming committee for this wind farm meeting. And I used to go and trash these meetings everywhere. We did run EPCOR out of Goderich, Ontario. Took a bit. Almost got in a fight there too, but some farmers backed us up. But anyways, I haven't seen Morley much. I'd explained to him that he was up to no good by not denouncing this wind farm crap. Yesterday, Tuesday, when I was talking in the grocery store, we got talking, and I was explaining that his church and every other church are Catholic churches, and that all roads lead to Rome. And I said, you know, I'm not very impressed, because when I tried to get a room to use for a meeting room at the church, it was very obvious that the preacher was pushing the agenda, the globalist agenda. And I said, maybe I should give him a call again. We'll have another chat with him. And this gentleman says, well, he's not there anymore. And I says, well, who you got for a preacher now? So he tells me the guy's name. And the guy's name, if I can dig it out here, the preacher's name, and they changed the name from the Pentecostal church to the Harbor Church. I asked the guy, you know, I said, so what's his new preacher's name? He says, Fraz Misera. I go, what? He goes, Fraz Misera. I said, that don't sound right to me. Right. And, I said, it don't sound much like a white European name to me. So I, went, and checked out this guy. And he's a Muslim. And I was talking to my mother today, that used to go to that church, and says, well, no, he was a Muslim. I said, no, he's still a Muslim. When I go through his friend page, I'm running into all kinds of people that are still pronouncing that Allah is the head honcho. And so this guy was born Muslim, and I would think these guys are acting pretty much like the Jesuits did. And if you read the Jesuit oath, it's the same thing. They're supposed to go into the Christian churches and deal with the congregation as if they care about them. When it says it right in the Jesuit oath that, you know, you're supposed to pretend you're these preachers, but then of course they're the Catholic, or the Vatican police force, or whatever you want to call it. And you're supposed to preach while you want all of them dead. And I see the same thing going on now with this Islamic nonsense. So he married a little white girl, and his background's a little sketchy. Grew up in Montreal, and ended up in Hamilton at a Christian college or whatever. And anything that goes, anything that comes out of Hamilton, Ontario, I'm very suspicious of, because Hamilton, Ontario was actually implementing Agenda 21 in 1989, and Agenda 21 wasn't signed on to till 1992. And another gentleman that I had on my show who was a United Church preacher, who was running around trying to save the Indians and whatnot, the natives, when I had him on the show, he outed himself, and he had done his stint in Hamilton, even though he went to school in Vancouver, I believe. And then he ended up either in Mexico or Peru with some priests, and then ended up back in Canada. Now the native people have caught on to the guy. So there's a lot of garbage going on. And I listened to a few of these guys, this guy's, this Fraz Misra's, what do you call him, his preaching. And I guarantee you this guy is a plant. I'm sure the people in the audience, oh, isn't this great? I mean, people are so stupid in this country, it makes me want to puke. Dumber than a box of frickin' rocks, man. I never seen a group of people so easily conned in my life as my fellow Canadians. And the same goes in America. Same goes anywhere in the West by the look of it. You know? Oh, isn't this wonderful? He was a Muslim and he converted to Christianity. Well, not really. Not really at all. But you people in the church now will sponsor Muslims into the country because your new preacher converted to Christianity. And so your mindset, I guess, would be, well, this would be great. We can bring all the Muslims in and turn them into Christians. Well, I've heard some stupid statements before, but if that's what you people in the church are thinking, you need to go see somebody to help your head because it's broken. So this is, the infiltration is going on everywhere. They're shoving. We've got Muslim mayors. We got Muslim attorney general in Ontario. We got a Muslim federal immigration minister. We got ragheads running our military. And oops, how'd that happen? How did that happen? Because we got conned into believing that we are immigrant nations. And that our forefathers were immigrants, and therefore we must allow all other immigrants in. That's not exactly how that works. The people who came to North America were the ones trying to get out from underneath the tyranny of where they lived. And these were the poor of the poor. These were the ones that were basically the serfs. And England needed, and France needed, bodies to populate the wastelands that they claimed. Because if you don't have a presence there, your claim is empty. So our forefathers came here, and for the most part, I'd say very high part, were all white Christians. And that was the point of it. And now our numbers are dwindling quickly. and we're the ones that built this place. This idea, you know, if you say, well, it's a nation. Well, okay, it's a nation. What it is is, you know, if you look at the First Nations, it says First Nations. And these are the nations that were on these lands prior to our forefathers showing up. Now, it wasn't a nation. They were nations because they had different tribes, spoke different languages, had different cultures, different societies. And this is exactly what we're doing now, okay? This is not a nation. A nation is, let me look it up real quick, just to get it right. Let me see here. It's very simple. A nation is who came over here in the first place. They were the nation. The nation comes from Latin, meaning tribe, kin, genus, class, flock. And this was the nation. Only the nation now is being fractured. Okay, now, if you go to the West Coast, I lived on the West Coast, or on the West Coast, back in the 70s, when they were bringing all the Sikhs and that in, Pakistanis and that. And what you have is you don't have integration. Okay, they stick to their own because they're a tribe, they're a kin, they're a flock, they're a class of people. So now when you go to Richmond, British Columbia, it's being taken up by the Chinese. If you go down to Toronto, there's 200 different languages spoken in Toronto. You go to Brampton, Ontario, you won't even know you're in Ontario. You know, they call it Bramladesh. Okay, so what they're doing is they're setting nations in here because they are nations because they don't assimilate. They stick, they're a tribe. They stick with their kin. And we never protected our lands. We got suckered into this idea that all of these people will integrate. Well, they don't. And as they bring in the Chinese and the East Indians, okay, and now the Muslims, our rules keep changing. I remember the hassle that went on when the first Sikh wanted to wear his turban and his religious dagger. And the people go, what the hell is that? You want to be an RCMP? Dress like an RCMP. And the RCMP used to have a very stringent dress code. But it was religious, so he can do it. And now with the Muslims coming in, we have RCMP wearing burqas. Or whatever the headgear is called. I don't think it's a burqa. That's the dress. That's the full gear, right? The hijab or whatever they call it. Regardless, for religious reasons. So we have to bow to the religious religious codes. Even though our communist prime minister, Daddy Trudeau, declared Canada a secular state. where religion has no place in the public. You can do whatever you want in private, but you know, as far as government is concerned, it's secular. Well, if the government's secular, then why is the head of our military wearing a freaking religious headgear? And why are the Muslims allowed to wear their headgear? And the Sikhs and that allowed to wear their daggers and that? Hell, you get caught in this country with a penknife in your pocket, you're going to get busted for having a weapon. Oh, that's not religious. Sorry about that. And nobody seems to see any of this stuff. You can't be a secular nation and then the government gives special privileges to religions other than the religion that this country was founded upon. So while they're giving special religious rights, because everyone has a right to practice a religion, okay, but then wait a minute, you pulled all the Bibles out of the schools, you pulled them out of the governments, you pulled them out of the courthouses, you pulled them out of the jails, pulled out the Lord's Prayer out of the legislatures and the local councils. And you took religion out of the school, and now you're bringing in Muslim prayers into the schools. Does nobody get any of this stuff? Canadians are the most lackadaisically, mentally, maybe on the planet. Proud to be a Canadian, might as well say I'm proud to be mentally deficient. I'm proud that I have a weak spine. I'm proud I got a weak spirit. And my mind's pretty weak. You know, it's a bloody disgrace. It's a disgrace to our forefathers. You know, I'm sure if they could get out of their graves, they'd start doing some headbutting and some slapping around here pretty hard. But they can't. So we've allowed ourselves to be basically coerced, browbeaten, conned into giving up our land. Now, I can't say anything because I'm white. And anything I say as a white man will be taken as hate speech. But I'm sure that I would get the government okay to promote global bacon. It's bloody ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. That we have allowed ourselves and our nation. We were the white tribe. And we knew how to stand up at one point. But that seems to have gone by the wayside now. Even though I sound rather down and pessimistic, I'm still absolutely convinced that somehow, some way, that we will rise. I believe we still got our forefathers' blood running in our veins. And I do believe that we'll rise. And then we'll get all right on the back on the moral path and crush this nonsense that's going on. just got to participate a little bit. You know, I have no idea how it is that parents allow their children to be put into these public schools. It makes me ill. You know, and parents talk about, oh, I got to take little Johnny or Susie to get their next set of death shots. Mr. Gate juice. WHO juice. Well, isn't it wonderful? Tomorrow at the library, they're bringing in I can never remember what you call those things. What do you call those things, those cross-dressers? Pat? Drag queens, that's it. I don't understand how parents are so stupid. And they go and they try to... I've known parents that have gone to school board meetings and that, and they basically get just told to shut up, right? And, you know, we're going to have to do some table turning here pretty quick. You know, you need to go out in the school board, and if they start giving you a hard time, you just start flipping their tables up on top of them. Just like this guy did way long time ago with the money changers. We're going to have to start to stand up. I see, I got a thing on Facebook today about a rally in Ottawa coming up. I don't know exactly sure when it's coming up. Let's see. When is this thing supposed to be? Supposed to be on the 30th of September, 2017. There's apparently going to be a rally of supposedly pissed off Canadians. In Ottawa. Yeah, let's see what it says about it. Didn't really say anything about it. Parliament Hill rally on the 30th of September. Hosted by the Canadian Coalition of Concerned Citizens. Now, I don't even like the sound of that. This is what makes me nuts. So you're going to have a rally on the Hill on the 30th of September. You're calling yourself Canadian. That's corporate. Coalition, a group of concerned, not pissed off, citizens, which is subject, which is subservient. So you need to get a new name for this. The Coalition of Concerned Citizens. That makes no freaking sense whatsoever. I don't even like the word concerned, right? Now, I should look that up. Probably did before. Because it's a wussy word. And we're concerned. What are you concerned about? The fact that these clowns are taking your country away from you? Does that concern you? Because, you see, we used to have, when I was fighting the windmills, they brought up a phony, which I'm sure all of these things are phony. This coalition, the Canadian Coalition of Concerned Citizens, are either dipshits or they're a control group. They came out what was it called? They were concerned about windmills anyways. And we had government agents, headman in it. And it was a complete piece of controlled opposition. Absolutely, completely set up to gather up the fools that they think they have these government people on their side. And it was, I forget what it was called. It had something to do with a concern. It was concerned. Now, concern really doesn't mean anything. If you read this, perceive, distinguish, refer, relate to, concern, touch, belong to, sift, mix, as in a sieve, to shift, hence, perceive, comprehend, discriminate, distinguish. Apparently the sense of the prefix shifted to intensity in medieval Latin, meaning worry, concern concerning letter opening to whom it may concern. So the only thing that I can see out of this concern would be the word worry. So you're worried. And what's that going to accomplish? We're worried subjects of the crown. That makes you a serf, a pawn, a peon. And you're liable to the corporation, which is Canada. So you need to pick a new name. I mean, if you're going to go to Parliament Hill, get a name that, you know, says something. Like, if you don't stop this shit today, we're going to burn the frickin' place down. You know, and if you are going to the Hill, my suggestion, because I don't do protests, but if you are going to the Hill and you want to make a statement, build a frickin' gallows out in front and hang some ropes. Then maybe your message will mean something. Well, we're concerned. Damn, really? Yeah. So you're worried? Yeah. Will you help us? No. Who the hell thinks running the show? Now go away. You know, and what it'll be again is you're going to have these stupid groups set up, and I know that this is just by the sound of the name of it, either these people are completely dense, or they're funded, and they're going to go to the Hill, and they're worried about something because they're concerned, and that will bring in the opposing groups, and we'll have what we had in London. And you'll have that anti-fas or whatever the hell that thing is called, anti-fascist group, who kind of dress up like Muslims, don't they, with the face masks and stuff on, just their eyeballs showing. So that's all you're going to accomplish there, is why I don't attend these things. Because if you don't have the proper intention when you're going, what's the point of going? If you're going there to wave placards and have speakers that are concerned, you might as well stay home, mow the grass, more productive. It won't look like such an asshole. You know, the only way I could possibly show up at this thing on the Hill on the 30th of September was if I can get my Muslim and Jewish friends to bring down truckload of global bacon, and we can fry some of that shit up. Did I tell you it's just like bacon? We'll just do the same as the margarine commercials. Can you tell the difference? I can't tell the difference. No, it's just like bacon. Crikey. How many tons of fucking margarine were eaten by idiots because the commercial told them to eat it? It's all the media telling everybody, love Muslims. And you knew this country was in trouble at the beginning. It was a Judeo-Christian country. Who's that put in front and above the Christians? The Jews. It's not Christian Judeo, it's Judeo-Christian. And who killed your man? I believe it was the Jews. That bothered me even when I was younger. I'd say, well, how the hell are we a Judeo-Christian country? You know, and the thing was, well, Jesus was a Jew. Well, the Jews killed him. So we've got Talmudic courts and the Jews run the bank and the entertainment and so on and so forth. And we're the peons, which makes us not real freaking bright, which ought to piss a lot of people off, but apparently it doesn't. Apparently it doesn't. Until this nation gets properly pissed off, we're just going to keep going down the sewer hole. And that's a fact. Now, we're going to have to make up one of them MEMS or whatever you call them. You know, global bacon. I think I will. I'm going to. Global bacon, and I'll shove that out on Facebook and see what kind of reaction we get from it. Now, this is something I don't think I brought this up before. This is not a new, well, it's fairly new, but London, Ontario, okay, the mayor put out a big thing about white racists and hate speech and all this kind of crap. And London, Ontario, from what I heard, is like 20% Arabic now. Roll over, Whitey. So here's a story. Now, I don't know how many Canadian men, young men, you know, very young men, died in World War I, a shitload of them. But here again, London, Ontario. Might as well just stick a Muslim mayor in London, Ontario, like they got in London, England. That would level things out a little bit. But they have a memorial. They had a ceremony honoring a World War I soldier who died in World War I, and this is in London, Ontario. Hassan Amat, one of thousands of soldiers who died in the Battle of Hill 70 in 1972. So they did a memorial for him, or a ceremony for him. So thousands of soldiers died in this Battle of the Hill 70 in 1917. Now, are they having a ceremony to honor the thousands who died in the battle? No. They're having a ceremony in London, Ontario. They had it. This is from August the 20th. The only Muslim soldier to die in World War I honored at a ceremony in London, Ontario. Not the thousands of white or native men, young men, very young men, who were apparently slaughtered at Battle of Hill 70 in 1917 for the express purpose of formulating the League of Nations and having people sign on to that. Nope. Private, I think that says Private, Hassan Amat was 23 years old when he died during the Battle of Hill 70, which took place 100 years ago this week. Amat, originally from Singapore, is believed to be one of 22 Muslim soldiers to serve for Canada in the First World War. Well, I guess we would have lost that one if we would have just depended on the Muslims who our government says were huge in the founding of this nation. Huge, huge, huge. There's 22 of them served in the First World War. He's the only one who was killed in action, said Georgiana Stankui, whatever, executive director of the Royal Canadian Regiment Museum in London. Amat's story has a few twists and turns, including a stop in London, Ontario, where he will be honored on Sunday, along with others who served with him in the Battle of Hill 70, which lasted for 10 days. He had quite a bit of an adventure while sifting through the medical and service records, as the head of the regiment in London. Amat was first rejected by the Royal Canadian Regiment when they said he was unfit to serve, but did enlist in New Brunswick. When asked if he had any military service, he replied, 5 minutes in the RCR. Killed in action, was deployed to France with the 1st Canadian Infantry Battalion out of London, where he was hospitalized with influenza three times while suffering from bronchitis and gum disease. What we know is that his unit was engaged in various other battles, including Vimy. Amat was also known. Amat has no known grave, but his name is listed on the Vimy Memorial. The Battle of Hill 70 was fought shortly after Vimy by the Canadian Corps, led for the first time by Canadian officer Arthur Curry. They were fighting back and forth for maybe 5 kilometers of territory, and were losing 10 to 15,000 people altogether in 4 or 5 days. It's named the Battle of Hill 70 because the fight was waged over a high piece of land near the town of Lens, then occupied by German forces. The ceremony at the Worsley Barracks Cenotaph starts Sunday at 11:45. So, you know, at this point in time, the media, the governments, federal, provincial, and municipal, are scratching anywhere and everywhere they can to find anything positive of a Muslim that they can put out in the media. And that makes me want to puke. I still haven't had a chance. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. I've been meaning to call the mayor's office in London, Ontario, and have a bit of a chin wag with them. Hopefully I can get that done tomorrow, and then we'll record it and see what we got. So that's the only Canadian Muslim soldier to die in World War One, honored at a ceremony in London, Ontario. And what they say was dying. What was that number? 10 to 15,000 people all together in 4 or 5 days. So 10 or 15,000 people got killed, and we have a ceremony of this guy who was a Muslim. And fuck the other 14,499. And apparently it just keeps getting better because here we go again. This is an older story. When is this from? Oh, no, it's not an older story. It's August 24th. It's 4 days after the only Muslim ever killed in World War I was head of ceremony. RCMP allows Muslim women Mounties to wear the hijab. The Mounties have adopted a new uniform policy to allow female Muslim officers to wear the hijab. Scott Bardsley, spokesman for the Public Safety Minister, Ralph Goodale, confirmed that RCMP Commissioner Bob Paulson recently approved an addition to the uniform policy to allow women officers to wear the head scarf if they so choose. Royal Canadian Mounted Police is a progressive and inclusive. Are you fucking serious? Right? Progressive and inclusive. Okay? And every morning we kiss Satan's ass. Inclusive police service that values and respects persons of all culture and religious backgrounds, Bardley said in an email. Male members of the Sikh faith have been able to wear the turban as part of the RCMP uniform since the early 90s, he noted. That right was won by Singh Dillon, a young practicing Sikh who wanted to become a Mountie but also wanted to wear a turban on the job. The federal government decision in 1990 to end the ban and allow him provoked emotional debate and widespread protest across Canada. And see what your protesting accomplished, people? Absolutely squat. Oh, you were concerned, worried. Yes, I know. But you didn't do nothing about it. Bartley said the new policy is intended to better reflect diversity in Canadian communities and to encourage more Muslim women to consider the RCMP as a career option. Now, I don't even know how I would respond. You know, we don't have really RCMP or much here in Ontario, the OPP. Out west, it was all RCMP, except for the city police. And I don't know how I would even respond if I got pulled over by somebody wearing a turban or a hijab. I have no idea how I would respond. You know, I really don't. Because I shouldn't be responding to this. Because, you see, Canada's supposed to be a secular nation. That was our big mistake, becoming a secular nation. That was our big mistake. But, you see, Islam is not secular. Islam is not separated. Islam is both government and the religion. They're not separated. And what we have going on here now is by allowing this religion special privileges, I guess, it just continues on. And once these people get their asses into positions, and as they fill up your legislatures and your town halls with Muslims, this privilege we gave them of religion, of which we're not supposed to give anybody a privilege of religion in anything that is governmental, they just keep walking on those stepping stones. And we keep doing nothing about it. And that's exactly how Islam or Sharia law gets implemented in the countries. I mean, it's the same thing. Look over in France. Look over in England. Look in Denmark. Look in Sweden. What are these no-go zones? They're a tribe. They're a nation within a nation. And they do not integrate, they do not respect, nor do they bow down to the laws of whatever country they're in, because they are a tribe, they are a nation. And they live by their nation's rules. And that's how countries become Islamic. It's all part of the plan to take down the West. But we need to step up to the plate. So what else we got here? A special RCMP hijab was developed. I'm really proud of these people for doing that on our dollar. Now, what's it say? It says Toronto Edmonton police allow, Barton said the RCMP will be the third Canadian police force to adopt the hijab policy behind Toronto and Edmonton police services. Police services across UK, Sweden, and Norway, and some in US states have also adopted similar policies. So there you go. You know, this is spreading. And we are the ones that are going to end up on the short end of the stick. Because your governments are doing as they're told to do, which is take you down. And that's exactly what they're doing. And it needs to stop. Well, in 1990, there was initial reluctance to allow Sikh RCMP officers to wear the turban as part of their uniforms. Canadians have since embraced the change, and we expect that this will be the same with the decision to allow the hijab, said the council's communications director, Amira Engelwabi, in a release. Now, that sounds not white European, I'm thinking, not. But this is the way it goes. And it's the way it will continue to go. The Canadian Muslim population is growing, and this decision will help reflect the richness and diversity of our country, as well as open up career options for minorities. The military has long-standing policies to protect and promote the religious or spiritual rights and freedoms of Canadian Armed Forces members, including accommodating religious and spiritual requirements, if military practicable. The CAF would evaluate a request, taking into account the religions, beliefs of the member, and make a decision based on safety and operational considerations, spokesman Daniel Bullier said in an email. In the past, the policy has allowed members of the Sikh religion to wear a turban as long as it does not jeopardize operational safety. He noted that Lieutenant whatever became the first CAF member to wear the hijab in 1996. According to military dress instructions manual dated 2001, members can wear the hijab with certain conditions. For spiritual and religious reasons, members are authorized to wear the hijab, provided that any danger should be avoided when they carry some types of operational gear, parts such as gas mask or oxygen mask or an explosive belt. Just put that part in. In case of real danger, these members shall modify their hair stylings or hijab or both, you know, the way that will allow them to wear the requested gear. This is beyond reasonable. Meanwhile, I don't understand. I haven't even looked at this, and I'm going to look at it right now. Hopefully, I got a couple minutes to look at it. This blows me away. Now, down in America, they're knocking down statues, and you can't have a Confederate flag, and just wiping the old history slate clean. And I haven't looked at this yet, but Sir John A. Macdonald is the founder of Canada, basically. Should John A. McDonald's name be removed from schools? It is at least a question worth asking. Now, I don't know what this guy did exactly to want them to remove his name. But anyways, real quick, I don't think I have time. For all that might seem to differentiate Canada from the United States at this particular moment, in one regard, our political debates have converged this summer. Who's next? Washington, Jefferson? Donald Trump tweeted on morning of August 17th, referring to George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, the first and third presidents of the United States, both of whom owned slaves. The target of Trump's... Okay, so coincidentally on that same day, majority delegates to the annual general meeting of the Elementary Teachers Federation of Ontario agreed that the name of Canada's first prime minister should be removed from public schools. According to the motion, the union calls upon school districts to examine and rename schools and buildings named after Sir John A. Macdonald in recognition of his central role as the architect of genocide against Indigenous peoples. Okay, there we go. There we go. So, you know, we got us a problem here, people, both sides of the border in North America. We have a real problem. And we have got to fight back against these nutcase leftists. I don't even like we're using the word leftist. This is just part and parcel of the game, the global game that's going on. And we need to stick a fork in its eye and call it done. Although I should be careful what I say, because if global bacon takes off, I could become a very, very wealthy man. And, you know, I mean, it just like bacon, but it's not. And that makes everybody happy, right? Global bacon. And it won't offend anybody. Not like John A. McDonald or the Confederate flag or bacon as it did now. I have to make little suits for people's dogs, too, because apparently dogs upset Muslims pretty bad. I don't know whether to dress them up as chickens or you know, I don't know what we dress them up as. But we got to either dress up our dogs not to offend the Muslims or we need to get rid of our dogs. Because we want to be inclusive, we want to diversify, we do not want to upset anyone's religion, except our own. I want all of you Christians to just continue what you're doing and do everything in your power to wipe your Christian faith off the map so that your demise will be shortly. Wake up, you dumbasses. You know, if you're going to a church, vacate it. You got kids in a school, vacate it. If you're going to the hill, let's go and grab some carpenters and we'll build a gallows down there just to give them the idea that we ain't going to put up with this garbage any longer. I hear music, and we'll be back Saturday night over on the Revolution.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air, fuck them back. It's only for the war. They shoot.